Welcome to Season 3, Episode 12 of Teed Up, where everyone's a sports expert.
The podcast that makes you care about sports.
We are an original podcast created and produced by Long Beach State, student-run newspaper, the Daily 49er. I'm Naoki.
I'm Maddie G.
Maddie G, you know, we came here looking correct today, and I'm glad, I know you guys are wondering at home why we're all dressed up. We're actually here for a job interview. So today, we have a premier guest. Sitting across from Maddie is our athletic director, Bobby Smitherin.
It's great to be here with you guys.
We got him back. And to his right across from me, is our new men's head basketball coach, Chris Acker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I'm actually really nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
maybe we should be nervous.
I don't know. See, in the prep for this show, you know, we want to keep it lighthearted still, but this, you know, we're going to ask some hard-hitting questions.
Okay.
So I guess to start things off, Bobby, for a brief period of time, right in the first round of the NCAA tournament, you kind of went viral in the sports media sphere for the press conference that had come out just before the first round of the tournament, before Long Beach State went to play U of A, University of Arizona. So just take me to the thought process of that quote and the sort of noise that surrounded you following that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the NCAA tournament run is about the coaches. It's about the team. It's about their achievement. And certainly my goal in that whole experience was to not be a part of that storyline, that the focus was on their achievement. And so, you know, obviously it was concerning that storyline, you know, dominated some of the media attention that should have been on the student athletes. So, you know, my focus was to celebrate Dan and his 17 years of service to Long Beach State University. And, you know, that's what my goal and efforts were in doing that. And sometimes when you, you know, say things to give context to what has taken place and to make sure that the correct narrative in terms of what has actually taken place is shared, you know, sometimes those things get taken out of context. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, my job in that situation was to just pull back, which is what I did, and let it be about the team moving forward.
Yeah. And then, I mean, for Chris, with the team still playing for you at San Diego State and the job being open, just what was that process like, focusing on the team, but also looking for what's next for your career?
You know, whenever you're going through something like that, it's hard to not get distracted with other things, but thankfully, I worked for a great head coach and Brian Dutcher, who allowed me to do what I needed to do and trust the fact that I was going to be locked in at the job, on the job at hand. And so I was able to compartmentalize and focus on San Diego State basketball when I needed to. But when I had to go through the process and talking to Bobby and everybody involved with the search, I could focus on that as well. And I think when you have great leadership in place, and you don't have to stress in those moments, and you're not trying to keep secrets or anything, you know, you can do both successfully.
Was it difficult at all kind of having the news break a week before the actual official announcement? I know 562 published an article first, and then we also posted one.
Yeah, you know, we there was a decision that was made, and, you know, it was done at the time what I thought was in the best interest of the program. And as you think about the transfer portal and identifying a coach as quickly as you can to try to solidify the program, to be out in front recruiting-wise, we thought that was in the best interest of the program. And, you know, and you never know what's in the hearts and minds of young student-athletes. And, mm-hmm. and it was great to see them galvanize around Coach Munson and for each other. You know, they really played for each other, and they played for Coach Munson and that coaching staff, and that was great to see. Mm.
Do you feel like a lot of the players that have come out to enter the portal, do you think that sort of came as a result as of the way that how things ended with Coach Dan?
No, I think, you know, these days it's a natural order in college basketball.
For
I
sure.
think anytime that there's a coaching transition, you should anticipate that the entire team likely will enter the portal, because these days it's a way for them to identify where their opportunities are, what's their value, what's their worth. And in the world of name, image, and likeness,
yeah,
you know, that's a real thing for them that I wouldn't begrudge anybody for understanding what their value may be in that market.
I'll add on to that just to the sense that, you know, also trying to figure out as players what my intentions are, and giving themselves a head start in the process of that as well. So absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
I know you made mention in your press conference that that was where it kind of begins, is kind of looking at the players who enter the portal. What's that contact kind of looked like? What is the likelihood of seeing some of the players return?
I'm very optimistic. You know, obviously, these guys that are here know how I feel about them. And I've told them all that, you know, in order to go to a championship game and then in order to advance to the NCAA tournament, which is the hardest tournament to play in college basketball, obviously, there's sacrifices that are being made. There's heroes in those moments. There's guys that are just glue guys in those moments. So everybody on the roster played a role in the program having success. And, you know, I've told them all, like I said, that I wanted them all back for all of their contributions that they made. And out of respect for what they got done, I didn't see a need to do anything else but tell them how much I appreciated them and how much I wanted them back. And to continue on with the momentum that they had built with the guys that regardless we were going to have to add to the fold because we lost a lot of really good seniors that were here before.
So where in the timeline do we rebrand the school to the Long Beach Aztecs?
That's hilarious. I'm just kidding.
That's funny, but I get the point. And, you know, I think the reality is for me is and Coach Acker, I think, has already spoken to this, that you want to surround yourself with like-minded people who share the same vision, the same philosophy, and they're people you can trust. I, you know, this position is in my eyes, the premier men's basketball head coaching position in the Big West Conference. And I'm going to entrust that with somebody that I respect, who has the same vision and alignment that I do in terms of how I view this position. And certainly identifying somebody who came from a championship culture was paramount to me. Let me say that this was a full national search. Okay? And so trust me when I say that we took the time, we made the effort. I was in multiple states, so we traveled all over to speak to folks. And it was really impressive with the quality of candidates who are attracted to this job. But at the end of the day, every athletic director has a list of items that they want to be able to check in terms of that hire. And as we went through that, Coach Acker was checking all those boxes for Long Beach State University.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, like more recently, like Coach John Calipari of Kentucky, like ended his tenure at Kentucky for a long time. And he obviously went to Arkansas. I couldn't help think about like what a rabbit hole it would have been to have Coach Cal here at Long Beach State. But I mean, you know, a man can dream. You know, they just hired Mark Pope this morning, but congrats to that guy. But we had you earlier on when you first got hired here. Yep. So then looking back at just from top to bottom, you know, you've had a pretty eventful first year as an AD. It was probably one of the craziest years in recent memory, I think, here on our program.
Long Beach, yeah.
Just as a retrospective of, I mean, it's not over yet. We still had the men's national tournament coming, volleyball tournament coming up, and dirtbags and softball sort of happening. But just looking back on, you know, what's happened throughout your first year here. And Coach, I want to get your perspective on how, if you've been watching from the outside as Bobby's been working here in the past year, but could you just provide us with a little bit of a retrospective on year one?
Yeah, you know, when I took this job, I knew that there were certain personnel situations that I was taking on. And, you know, so I came into this fully aware of what I was stepping into. And certainly, you know, some things that have taken place, Tyler Hildebrandt, you know, his departure was something that was not on the horizon. And that's just the nature of college athletics. You know, I don't begrudge anybody for doing what's in their best interest. And certainly I'm going to do what's in the best interest of Long Beach State University. And so, you know, how I was going to approach this job was to take the first 6 months to really listen and observe. And I certainly did my best to do that. But then I'm at the end of the day, I'm the athletic director and I'm thrust into certain, you know, situations that require you to make decisions. And that's getting as much information as you can from the necessary stakeholders so that, you know, you're doing what's in the correct interest of the community, of the university, and really your student athletes. And I think making sure that I'm understanding their experience is critical to the decisions that I'm making moving forward.
Coach?
You know, to be honest, when Bobby got the job, I was just happy for him because I knew how much Long Beach meant to him. And then you got to lock back in on what you got to do that season and not really worry about any other program except the teams in front of you that you're going to play. And then it just so happened we ended up playing Long Beach State. So then you re-engage again and you say, all right, we're playing against our guy. We got to get this done. And you focus on winning that game. And then, you know.
I wanted to beat San Diego State as badly as he wanted to beat absolutely. Long Beach State. Yeah, right? Yeah, so absolutely. It goes both ways.
It goes both ways. I mean, as competitors, that's what it is. And, you know, when he when they left and we got back focused on what we had to do, there's so much that goes on throughout the course of a season. Internally with your guys, externally with your guys. There's just so many different variables that you're faced with throughout the course of a season that if you're not focused and locked in that day, something could alter the chances of you making a run or doing something or missing a moment where you could connect with a guy. So ultimately, I was focused on San Diego State basketball. And then as we got closer and you start hearing the rumblings and, you know, you're walking amongst your staff and you're like, oh, Long Beach State might, you know, and you're hearing all of this stuff. Of course, you get intrigued, but you fight the urge to worry about that and just lock in on what you have to do. And then when it was brought to my attention that I'd be a candidate considered for the job, that's when you kind of shift gears and you start doing your research and you start figuring out exactly what they had done that season and what they had done years before. And the coolest thing about it is you get to learn about the history of Long Beach State and being, you know, from this area to an extent and having lived here and having so much family here and coming to games here at the Pyramid as a kid, seeing Kobe playing here. You know, when you look back on those moments and reflect, you just get excited about like, man, I have the opportunity to be the head coach of that program. I remember these moments when I was here. And then you start talking about and researching the history and the former players. And you're like, whoa, he coached here? Jerry Tartanian? And then you look back and you're like, wait, Lucius Harris played here? Yeah. So you just get all of those moments along the way. And it's just it just becomes more and more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you got your head coaching start at the junior college level, right? Then you had the 9 years being an assistant at the D1 level. Just what did you learn from the coaches you worked under during that time period?
Yeah, in short, you know, I tell people all the time, when I got my first head coaching job, I was a junior college assistant coach for 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing I did is exactly what I learned in those 6 seasons. And then when I got to the Division I level, having worked for Aron Gannat, Leon Rice, and Brian Dutcher, you learn so many different ways of doing things. And you just figure out, you know, kind of where you sit in, but you pay attention to all of the details. And more importantly than philosophy or how you're going to play or all of those things, you pay attention to how those programs recruit. You pay attention to how they treat administration and the relationships that they have with their bosses. You pay attention to, you know, how important the alumni base is and how to build opportunities for people to get together and, you know, ultimately donate to your program and be a part of what you have going on. So you just pay attention to all of those things. And then you just pay attention to the little moments when you're in the office with a guy and you see how your head coach. I remember so many times my first year at Hawaii, Aron was taking over the program. We took it over together. So it was his first experience coaching Division I basketball, kind of like mine. And he inherited a team because that was before the transfer portal has gotten where it is. That was before NIL. And how he handled those moments when you had guys that didn't quite know who he was, and you were trying to figure out how to lead them. You just learn in all of those moments. So I learned a lot. I'll take a lot, but ultimately I'm gonna be me and figure out what works best for this group here at Long Beach State. But I'll apply all those lessons along the way.
Speaking of NIL, we talked about NIL a little bit when you were here last time, and year by year since the NCAA has kind of approved this notion in 2021, it's kind of grown into almost a thing of its own, where you see the numbers of how much Caitlin Clark's been making off of NIL and Angel Reese. As a coach, how have you been tasked with navigating players getting NIL deals? Does that bleed into play or in the locker room or onto the court at all?
It just depends. I mean, it just depends on where you're at currently in that space you're in. One of the reasons that excited me about Long Beach State is I just feel like with this community around these guys and with this city I mean, who doesn't love being in Long Beach? There's parts of the city that I had never been to that I'm figuring out now that I'm so excited about. And so I just felt like regardless of what the NIL space is here at Long Beach State, you can retain players, you can retain coaches, and you can build and establish your program because there's great basketball being played right here in our backyard. Long Beach Poly, Long Beach Jordan, St. John Bosco. I mean, the list goes on of all of these talented programs that are always going to have players that want to wear the colors that we're wearing now. So I couldn't be more excited about being here. And then we'll navigate and figure out, you know, how we can compete with NIL as we go through the process.
Yeah, and then you mentioned, I love that you mentioned it exactly, the Kobe Bryant Summer League game, just being at the mid in the past. But how does the venue kind of hold up now being the head coach of Long Beach State?
You know, I still, like when you said that just now, I just remember Kobe in the back kind of stretching and warming up before he hit the floor. And I just remember, I don't even remember how old I was, but I just looked down like, this dude's 18 years old. I'm older than him. Or like we were like the same age. I'm like, he would destroy me. And just like, just thinking like, that's Kobe Bryant, you know what I mean? And then, you know, seeing so many pro-am games played there, you know, again, it's just about the history and the respect of what's been here before I was here from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, and it's just exciting. And to me, it's like the pillar of Long Beach when you go and you drive by the pyramid. Like when I'm driving on campus and I'm like lost, because half the time I'm lost on campus, I just look for the big blue pyramid. All right, that's the direction I need to go. So, you know, it just stands out. It stands alone in this conference and in the country as, you know, to me, arguably the best arena in the country.
Has the 405 traffic bothered you at all quite yet or no?
I stay away from it. It's that simple. I stay away from it.
Then, Bobby, I mean, as the AD, from a coach's perspective, I guess, it would be a bit difficult, but as an AD, navigating through competing with bigger schools on an NIL basis, how much money is now being played into recruitment? What goes through your mind in that process of when you had to kind of compete with schools in terms of recruitment with NIL?
Yeah, I think it's coming up with the philosophy that's correct for Long Beach State University, and we hear stories of what this person got or how they're doing at an institution, and sometimes that doesn't equal wins, you know, and so I think it's what is the right philosophy for us, for the program that Coach Acker wants to run. I think, you know, we have similar thoughts in terms of how we can engage the community of Long Beach in that regard. So it's something that the community can be proud of, and our student athletes can be proud of that what they're doing really has an impact in our community. And so I think that's what I'm excited about is, as Coach Acker has said, that we've got people in this community who are really excited about the direction of our men's basketball program. And so I think there's a real opportunity from an NIL space, but doing it in the right manner for our student athletes, that's going to help us take that next step. You know, Coach Acker, he's a very competitive guy. He's here to win games, right?
Absolutely.
So with that, you know, like, we want to do it in a way that sets us up for success, and us being the student athletes, the coaches, how this program's going to operate, so that, you know, I see the challenge of NIL. You know, you can really kind of run yourself in the ground if you're not doing it the right way. So what's a consistent approach to this that everybody can feel proud of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have an NBA team? Do you have a favorite NBA team that you support?
The Lakers. Come on, man. The best team in the world.
That's a rough one. He's a Southern California native. Of course he's going to say the Lakers.
You know,
come on.
I don't blame him. I'm a Celtics fan. We're not going to get there.
Wow. We won't even talk about it.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming to the show. So the last time Bobby was here, we did like a quick fire questions. We prepared a few.
Okay.
Some of them will be yes or no. Some of them will kind of be like just first thing that pops into your brain.
Okay.
So first off, LeBron or Jordan?
Jordan.
Why am I not surprised?
Okay. Game-winning shot or game-winning block?
Game-winning block.
Ooh. Get dunked on or get crossed?
Get dunked on.
Pickles or bananas?
Neither.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Okay.
Go to a hot dog order?
I don't eat hot dogs.
You don't eat hot dogs?
No.
Wait, well, so then what's your go-to cheat meal? Do you have a cheat meal?
Lasagna.
Ooh. Another, you're a pasta guy too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, you did recommend the pasta break.
Yes.
He did indeed. That is right. G League or play overseas?
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. Depends on the person. Depends on the player.
Ooh. Bench warmer on a championship team or a starter on a tanking team?
Bench warmer on a championship team.
10 MVPs or 10 championships?
10 championships.
I like this guy.
Winning.
He's a winning guy.
I told you championship culture. I can answer these questions for you.
That is true. I just wanted to like really, really make sure. Yeah. Okay.
No, I like these questions. You ain't going to slip me up on no winning and competitive. That's not happening.
Zone or man-to-man?
Man-to-man.
Whoa. More satisfying, a four-court press turnover or a press break score?
Four-court press turnover.
What if you miss a layup?
You got to come out of the game. No, I mean, that's a good question. I'm still sticking with my answer.
Okay, what's more infuriating, a 35-foot three-pointer by your center or a wide-open miss layup by on a fast break?
Wide-open miss layup by on a fast break. I want guys to have complete confidence when they're on the floor. So if he's shooting a three, he knows I've given him confidence to shoot the three.
I want like the I don't know if you remember the Andrew Bynum when he was on the Lakers, when you guys were playing the Warriors, and he like took like a random top of the key three-point shot. And then Mike Brown proceeded to just bench him like straight after.
I'm encouraging the three.
Who's your GOAT coach? Who's the guy that you look up to?
Besides now Steve Fisher. Ooh. I love watching his teams compete. Outside of that, I'd say maybe Tyronn Lue.
Interesting. I hear a lot that he got carried through those Cleveland years by LeBron, and obviously he's doing really well now on the Clippers with the personality he's got.
I love Chauncey Billups too. I love both those guys. Even though Chauncey's not having as much success, I like both of those guys a lot.
Do you feel like as a coach that the former players, especially former point guards, that have a little bit more success as coaches in the NBA or less in basketball in general?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, in the NBA, it's just totally different. You're not picking your team in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like you can get creative. I mean, Popovich arguably one of the best coaches in the history of the NBA, and
never played.
You know, I know he never played, but I mean, he's a great coach, and like his team just wasn't. You know, they're on the map now because of Wembanyama. Like, you got to have really good players. I mean, players are why coaches are successful. Now, the coaches that have really good players and can't figure it out, that's totally different. But I just feel like you have success based on the players on your roster. I'm a horrible coach if I don't have really good players.
How valid is the 2020 ring?
How valid is?
The pandemic ring, the Disney ring, the Lakers 2020.
Oh.
Championship win.
You know, I'm a Kobe guy, but I respect the fact that LeBron was able to get his guys together and win a championship. So I'm never going to be disrespectful to any championship that was won, because people don't realize I only heard stories about what was happening in that bubble. Some people would argue that that was probably the hardest championship in the history of the NBA. So, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. But I got to go on record saying, you know, I'm a Kobe guy, so, you know.
I was a big Kobe guy, too, even as a Celtics fan. It was infuriating watching him play us and whoop us every single time. But you know what? As a Celtics fan, that 2020 ring, you know, to each his own. You know, people tell me that I'm a little bit salty because the Lakers tied it up with us. My go-to defense was, you know, I wouldn't accept the championship ring that comes with the Disney annual pass in Mickey Mouse ears. But
oh my God, this guy is harsh. Unless they want it,
unless they want it, you know what? I'll take it. But thank you for that. I guess to close things out, how do you plan on filling out? Both of you filling out the coaching staff, and what do you think the roster as a coach, what are you looking for in a roster that would best fit your system? Not necessarily specific players, like name dropping or
you're in trouble for that.
Yeah, it's tampering. Yeah, but in terms of whether style of play, you know, players that are more 3-and-D based, or they're more lead guards, or back to the basket big men. What are you looking for when you're looking at recruits for the next season?
Well, I hired him, so I did my part. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now he gets to, you know, and I didn't mean to cut you
no,
off.
No, you
go ahead. But he's the CEO
you're the boss.
Of the men's basketball program.
Oh, is he?
Right? So so that he gets to make those choices. And you know, I want him to surround himself with people that he trusts, and he knows what his vision is for that. So,
yeah, I mean, as far as the staff is concerned, you want people that want to be excited about being here, first of all, because this is a very, very special place. And then you want guys that can put their head down and work through the hard times and that are going to support each other through the hard times. And that's hard to identify a lot of times. So it takes time to get to the point to where you feel comfortable about, you know, the guys you bring on board. But, you know, at the end of the day, these players are the most important thing in a program. And so you want guys that are going to dedicate, you know, regardless of what's going on, time, energy, effort into making sure that they maximize their talent, starting with the end in mind. And this is going to be a place where if you want to play professional basketball, this is the right place for you. If you don't want to grind and you don't want to work hard and you don't want to be a professional basketball player, a professional athlete, probably not the right place for you because of what we're going to put into it. And I just think in the recruiting process, as we segue into players, it's a sacrifice on both ends. And what I'm going to ask myself and the coaching staff to do is be all in and be all encompassing and surround them with, you know, love and respect and be in the gym with them, working them out, and, you know, be sitting next to them with a laptop, you know, before practice, after practice, individual workouts, and taking them through where they are on their journey so that from a mental standpoint, the guys, when they leave the floor, they never leave the floor wondering, you know, where they are in that moment. And then from the standpoint of the type of players that we're talking about, you know, quite simply, I just want guys that want to defend and have a high defensive IQ and can pick up scouting reports and that understand, you know, schemes and that can figure it out on a defensive end. And then I want guys offensively that want to play fast, want to play for each other, and ultimately, at the end of it all, want to win championships.
Wow. See, there was like a season in my life where I wanted to be a coach too. Like I played high school basketball. I was like going to school to be a basketball coach, learn like all these like concepts, plays. And I was like, my brain hurts, man. I don't know if I can do this. But I loved it though. Cause
that's how I was in the classroom. So don't feel bad.
Yeah. But then like not watching even
that's
like.
How I was studying the UConn playbook.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I could talk about women's basketball all day long too. Like the women's Final Four.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
It was, well,
the
like.
The growth of the game is incredible.
Well, that did, it performed better in viewership than the men's this year, which is insane. And yeah. A lot of it was that 2020 women's recruiting class with Paige Beckers and Cameron Brink, Angel Reese, and Caitlin Clark. Like, the WNBA is like, it's in good hands now. Yeah. Yeah. What did you think about the Sabrina versus Steph 3-point contest? Did you watch that this year?
I did watch it, yeah.
I was rooting for Sabrina. I really was.
I'm always rooting for whoever's best. I want that person to win.
I thought Sabrina was better.
So, you know, I was happy that they did it, and I hope they continue to do it. Because when you have the best shooter in the history of the game, giving people opportunities to compete, there's a lack of there's humility there, and there's a lot of kids that need to see that and watch that. And I think when you have a title, you should always put it up to the test. And what he did was remarkable, giving her an opportunity to compete against you.
I was going to say that. It was very humble of Sabrina to give Steph that opportity to showcase his talents and remains on a big stage. I want to see Caitlin Clark pair up with Sabrina next year, take on Steph and Clay. Ooh. That's like that's what's been flying around.
Ooh.
I mean, I feel like that'd be pretty good for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good for the game.
As a basketball coach and as a basketball person, have you gotten the chance to watch the Mind the Game podcast with LeBron and J.J. Redick?
A little bit, just bits and pieces. I honestly, I have not, because of where I am, as I could go down a list of my job titles right now as the GA, the assistant coach, the manager. I don't have a lot of time to watch anything.
Fair enough.
But yesterday, honestly, was the first time I got to watch all of the guys on our list that were recruiting. I got to watch at least a game of all of them yesterday. That's what I spent my night doing last night. So that's what I'm focused on right now, is figuring out who's going to be who we can get and who's really good and going to help make an impact here in Long Beach State.
There you go. We can recruit Bronny James. He's on the portal too.
I want to talk about that. I know we're in the early days kind of just of where this roster is going to be at, but you look up and down it outside of the players in the portal, it's mostly freshmen and then what would be now sophomores. Just how reminiscent does it feel of your West LA team?
You know, I haven't really had, to be honest, a lot of time to think about that. I've just tried to focus on making sure that the guys that I know for sure are coming back are in a good space academically and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And the guys that are on the fence, I've been trying to just make sure that they know how much we want them back and how welcome we are, but how also how much we appreciate and understand that they're taking their time to figure things out. And literally, you know, I have not thought one second about basketball until last night when I started watching games. And honestly, when I was watching the games, I started, oh, we can run this play and that play. And I just started thinking about basketball. So that was a cool moment to realize that, like, eventually we're going to be at the place where we can actually start thinking about hoops and talking about hoops. But right now there's a lot of work to be done off the court.
I just want to talk hoops forever.
Go for it.
Like, no, not today, obviously. And then, Bobby, like, first year, you know, first national championship berth in over a decade. It's a huge accomplishment. So then with that kind of, is the next step is, okay, now let's win this thing, or is it kind of like exponential growth? Like, okay, and then now let's get into the Sweet 16, at least Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. What are now the expectations now with Coach Acker here? It's like, is it like championship or bust or?
Well, it's funny because when I was hired, some of the first things I was hearing from some of our supporters was Final Four, you know, because I was coming from an institution that achieved that. And I said, well, hold on, like,
wait, Final Four?
Let's hold on here. Right. Because as you said, there are those kind of exponential growth stages you have to go through as a program, and those things can take decades. It can take years to build up to that. So we want to do something that, like I said earlier, is sustainable. And so how do we give Coach the resources and support that he needs to be at that championship level? And so culture is the big thing. And then that's what, you know, was so attractive about who Coach Acker is, where he was coming from, his experiences at other championship programs, mm-hmm. is that's what we're trying to instill, is a championship culture every year that you're in that final game. You have an opportunity to compete for a championship. And as long as we're doing that, you know, then it's about, did the ball bounce in our direction, or, you know, were we right-minded that night in that championship game and we're able to be successful? And so I think as long as we're positioning ourselves for that, then we're doing our jobs.
And then one last quick thing. You guys are very much alike. I can see why this would work really well. What would you guys say you guys get this kind of bulldog championship? It's a straight grind. It's we're here to win. Where do you guys think you guys get this sort of mentality from?
Well I'm a coach's kid, and I've, you know, been raised around this, and I'm 5'7", and I, you know, I don't have a lot of hair on my head, so I'm naturally have to be a little competitive, you know, to be successful in this world. And so, you know, in all seriousness, I think that's just, I think sometimes you're attracted to people who have that same philosophy, or you kind of have that same thing about them that maybe it's hard to put on paper, but you know it when you see it or you feel it. And so I think our having spent time obviously around each other and around a program that was very inclusive in terms of bringing people along for the ride, I think helps to, you know, he and I to be philosophically aligned. Yeah. I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I definitely do. I think from a life standpoint, my mom was that way. From a basketball standpoint, I'm a JUCO guy at heart. And at the JUCO level, you have to do everything. You have to be the jack of all trades. And, you know, no is not an answer. I don't know. I'm not sure. Second guessing yourself. You know, none of that stuff applies when you come from zero resources. When you come from just trying to figure it out every single day, you know, just going to the grocery store to get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so the guys can have something to eat. You just deal with so many different things at that level. And so When you can win a championship at that level, like I was fortunate enough to do, and you see that work plays off, you just get obsessed with the process and the journey, and you think back to how all of that thing kind of snowballed. But I agree with Bobby. I mean, you know, in order to win championships, you got to have people around you that know and understand what that feels like and that are chasing that every single day. And, you know, that's what he and I have done in our careers together at San Diego State, you know, and that's all we know. And so although it's going to take time to build it and, it, you know, to get to a national championship game, I mean, there's – you got – just to give you a quick, like you had Kawhi Leonard play at San Diego State. Like True. you have some, I mean, I can go down a list of the great players that played at San Diego State that never did what we did 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So In order to build that, it takes years. Coach Dutcher's been on campus for 26 years or something like that. You know what I mean? Whoa. Steve Fisher, you know, named him head coach in waiting after being there for 12 or 15 years. So it just takes a lot of time to get there. But we believe in our hearts that it's possible to get done if you stay true to the process and you do everything with the end in mind.
I think for us, you know, we've both had that experience and that gives you that itch, yeah. you know, that yeah. that you have, and having that experience this past season here at Long Beach State.
Yes.
You're like, that's what, to see our community get so excited, the students, you know, there are watch parties all over campus.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the kind of thing that once you have that experience, you want to, you're hungry for it.
Yeah,
and so I think that's what we're striving for.
Last thing for me, just as far as, you know, keys to recruiting local talent, just identifying that, taking advantage of resources, can we get a quick Chris Acker elevator pitch to all the recruits?
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at this camera right here.
Looking at this one. Looking at this one. Absolutely. I hope all the recruits are watching right now.
We hope so too.
Yeah, I hope they all watch right now. But ultimately, this is a program where we're centrally located right around where these guys grow up, in this area where, basketball players are breeded and are bred. And, you know, this is a program that should be filled with guys, that are local, because there's so much talent. There's a level of competitiveness and there's a level of pride here in Long Beach. And so, you know, anytime you can play for a program that is in the city that you live in, you just carry that a little bit differently. Mm. And there's a level of respect that you have for what you're doing every single day. When you can go home or go around the corner, you see your boys and they were at the game the night before and they're telling you, I mean, you didn't do nothing last night. You're like, all right, watch, I'm gonna show you tomorrow. And, you know, you have that energy right there in your city. There's something to be said about that. So again, we are very, very fortunate to be right here where we are in this city, and there's no reason why we can't have the best players in this community jump on board with what we have going on, regardless of NIL. Because again, if you love Long Beach and you love your city and you love your community, and you want to represent that, and your ultimate goal is to play professional basketball, then there's no better place to be. And we'll figure out the rest as we go along.
I think that's pretty good.
That was very good. I'm sold.
That got me hyped. Dang. Well, if you ever need any players at the beginning of next season, me and Maddie will walk on.
All right. All right. I like it.
We'll make it a whole YouTube video of me and Maddie walking, doing a walk-in tryout for the men's basketball team.
It would not go well.
What?
Just a lot of stretching before that tryout.
A lot of stretching. Me and Maddie both do yoga.
We do yoga.
Well, you guys had your suits on, so I figured you guys were going to come be graduate assistants.
That's what I told him
like
beforehand.
I mean, I'll send you my resume after the show. Right.
Well, send it to Bobby. That's an administrative deal. I'm not sure.
He's got kind of a Pat Riley kind of look.
I'm trying to
slick the hair back, but
my hair's not long enough to do that.
It's all good.
Oh man! But thank you guys for being here, Bobby. Thank you for coming back.
Of course,
Chris, Coach.
Oh, it's okay. Chris is good. Everybody calls me Ack. So they don't even call me coach. The players know one, so they all say ack.
Okay, so now I know what to say when I yell at my TV.
Yeah, you're all good.
You're cheering at your TV.
Yeah. Well, if I see like a blown coverage, I'm like.
If you see a blown coverage, yes, yeah, please do that. Shoot me a text and let me know I saw a blown coverage, and we'll get that corrected right away.
Yeah, let me and Maddie be the head of your film study.
All right.
We'll just make a really
careful
like,
what you ask for.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm so you gonna be in that thing. I'm so down. I like watch basketball games. It's like I'm studying film. I break I down it. Like. This is like the curse that I have now with me wanting to be a coach for so long is like I watch our games last season.
I love
so
it.
One of the first interactions that I had with coach this year was we were playing was it Cal Baptist?
Yeah.
And I had asked him in the press conference because we were on drives defensively. We were collapsing the paint, leaving shooters open.
Yeah.
And Cal Baptist is, I mean, they're a pretty good shooting team. So we were just like giving them, like we were helping off like way too aggressively, one pass away. Thankfully, Cal Baptist, they kind of flaked on a lot of those open shots that they were getting off of that. But, you know, it only takes a couple of those shots to go in. They get some momentum and all of a sudden a 5-6 point lead turns into like a 4 or 5 point deficit in a span of a minute. Yeah. So I asked Coach Munson that question and he was just like, yeah, that wasn't the game plan. I was just like, you know, so I watch these games from a very X's and O's standpoint. So, you know, see, this is my job interview. I told you.
I love it. Well, you're doing a nice job. I'll tell you that.
He knows enough to be dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But then it's like, then it's not fun anymore. You know, I'm just watching it. Like, I get frustrated. No, I'm just kidding. But again, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys for watching the season 3, episode 12 of Teed Up. Thank you to our video editor and producer, Anus Wanapool. Get well soon, brother. And our multimedia producer, Al Nicklin. If you want to stay up to date on the latest in Long Beach State sports, check out our website, daily49er.com, and follow us on socials at daily49er. We started posting our sports recaps once a week on Mondays. They're about 60 seconds long. I've been doing them every week. Maddie, you guys are doing something, bro.
I do. I got to step up.
Yeah, you got to step up. So, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Let's go. We do this hard. I remember if you remember this, Bobby. So we do this hard. Yeah, there you go. It's Gareth Bell hard. And we'll catch you guys next week. Come on.
Let's go.
Let's go.